Welcome to the Guts Church Podcast. My name is Kennedy Shear, and thanks so much for joining us. Today, we have a great word from my dad, Pastor Bill Shear. If this ministry has changed your life, will you let us know? Send us an email to story@gutschurch.com.
Oh my goodness, life. How many guys are alive today? Let's welcome everybody at Skytook and Sepulpa and Philadelphia and everybody else that's watching, Oklahoma City. People all over the place that watch the Guts Church. I would too, but I get to be here. Can I thank you from the bottom of my heart for just being the church that I want to be a part of, I want to attend, I want to participate in, and it's an honor to just have whatever leadership capacity that I walk in. It's an honor for me to be able to walk in it. Today, I want to just talk to you a little bit, because I know you're going through things. We're going through something, multiple things. It's just multiple fronts, and you know, it's interesting because I know strategically, you know, in the natural, you can't fight enemies on multiple fronts. You have to focus. But I'm just telling you, spiritually, God's armed us for everything in our periphery, and then He becomes our rear guard. So He even takes care of what's coming up behind us, and understand that. But you know, I think about God's word all the time. It's consistently in my mind and on my heart. When I reference the term heart, just to kind of bring some perspective and some context to you, it's actually the combination of your soul, how you think, the way you think, your mindset, your emotions, how you deal with your emotions. That's your soul. Your decision-making is your soul. And then your spirit that's born of God. They're two different things. But what happens with God's word, what it does, and the communion, the fellowship that we have together, it morphs those two into one thing, and that's our heart. Where the Bible says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. Because what's happening, your soul and your spirit, man, are melded together and become an alloy that the world can't penetrate. And in doing this, you know, I think about God's word, and what God's word does is it comes to us as seed. Write that down. It sounds so elementary, but it really is going to make sense, okay? You're going to be able to make sense of most everything that's happening in your life where God's word comes as seed, all right? And it's actually Luke 8:11 says that it is the seed that God gives us. And in what's amazing is in Isaiah 55:11, God says, so shall my word come forth from my mouth. He said, it will absolutely hit the mark. It will accomplish that for which I sent it, and it will never return void of power. It's always going to, and you know what's interesting is after the 9:30, Roger Walsh, who's an elder here at the church and a dear friend, a brother, a man of covenant in my life, we were just talking, and he said, you know, Pastor, that a seed can't lie. A seed can't change. A seed has no doubt. And when he said that, it's like, oh my gosh. I mean, it's something, yeah, if you would, true or false, does seed doubt? That's absolutely false. We understand that there's no doubt in seed. So when God's word comes as seed, what it does is it penetrates, it comes into our heart, not just our minds, but our heart. And now when it's established, because it's used to working with the part of us that's born of God, but then the alien part of us, which is actually our soul or our mind, man, now what it does, it'll begin to push things to the surface, and the root system of that seed will push things out of the way, stones and rocks and weeds and other kinds of things that have been in our lives and choked things off and kept blessing from me in our life, and that word begins to take over in our lives. And we have to understand that. In Genesis, the 8th chapter, I think, that the Bible says that while the earth remains, there's seed, time, there's not compound words in the Hebrew. So it's translated in a lot of your Bibles, seed, time, and harvest, like two things. It's actually three things. It's seed, time, and harvest. Cold and heat, winter and summer, day and night, shall not cease. The way God does, the way God blesses us, the way God ministers to us, the way God reaches us, it's always giving us seed. See, it's the same thing the devil's going to do. That's all fear is. Fear is just you realizing what the facts are, realizing what your situation is, your circumstances are, and you seeing that that's your reality. When that becomes your reality, don't let your circumstances become your reality. Man, and everything that's subject to change is not where I want to grab a hold of. I want to grab what is never going to change and never, it is undefeatable, and it's God's word. It's God's promise. It'll never return void of power. It will accomplish that for which God sent it. See, so there's three parts of this. There's seed, there's time, and there's harvest. And God gives us his promises in seed form. But then what does that flip to? Our time. That's where our faith comes in. That's where our trust comes in, because that time place is there. Man, let God's word work. Let me just tell you, can I proclaim something to all our campuses today? God's word is growing on the inside of me right here and right now. Anybody holler over that? Man, is God's seed growing in your life? See, that's what you've got to be thinking. Wait, man, we're used to thinking by what we see. It's like, oh, this situation or the circumstances or the diagnosis or the test that they're running or the levels that things are at or the amounts. No, let me tell you, man, God's word is working mightily in me. God's word is growing on the inside of me. That seed is growing. That seed is germinating. It's pushing things out of my life that shouldn't ought to be there. See, that's what God does. See, we look at verses like Philippians 4:13. Man, the seed's growing on the inside of us right now. Man, God's word's growing on the inside of you right now. Right now, God's word is swelling. God's word's expanding. God's word's throwing its shoulders back and putting its chin up and saying, let's go. Man, that's what God's word's doing. Think about Philippians 4:13. Paul, in the worst, much worse situation than all of us put together. Anybody watching this online right now, man, whatever you're dealing with, it is very little to nothing compared to what Paul was dealing with when he penned these words. Listen, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's not coming as the harvest. That's coming as the seed. See, when you receive that word that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me as seed, then it doesn't matter. Then I'm just telling you. Man, what Pastor Sandy's gone through for the last couple weeks, that seed's just been growing on the inside of her. That word's coming out of her mouth. Not a lick of doubt, not a lick of unbelief. All it is, what is it? It's faith. And what does faith do? Faith overcomes. Write that down. Everybody say it. Faith overcomes. Faith. Say it again. Faith. Man, why do we push people to faith in this church? Because faith overcomes. Man, how many of you guys are overcomers in this place? Man, that's all we do. That's all we are. That seed that's preached in this church, all it knows to do is to overcome. Yeah, but I need some sympathy. No, please. You're going to get sympathy a lot of other places. You don't need it here. What empathy is showing you where the solution is, not focusing on your problem or your issue. Jesus said this. You've heard it said, but I say to you. Wait a minute. This is common sense. Yeah. We're fixing to even trump that. We're fixing to overcome common sense. See, there are countless ways to disprove Philippians 4:13. And unless you look at it as seed. Man, I'm not looking at it as the harvest. I'm looking at it as the seed. Will that seed produce a harvest? Abel, will the seed produce a harvest? All it knows to do is produce that harvest. So when you receive, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me as seed. Wait a minute. That dyslexia won't stop you. Poverty, you laugh at poverty. Why? Because that seed's been sown in your heart. What's that seed doing? That seed's germinating, that seed's growing, that seed's springing forth, that seed's developing a root system that's pushing things out of the way in your heart. All that poverty crap that's in you, it's pushing it out of the way. Let me tell you what the side effects of God's word are. The side effects of God's word is health, is dominion, is power. Everybody say power. Power. No, show me. You show me, hey, you show me your faith by what you say, I'll show you my faith by what I do. Everybody say power. Man, I'm getting stronger. Say it. The word's strong in me. See, but this message comes to you as seed. It's what it does, okay? But because God gives us our salvation as seed in our lives. So great a salvation. That's why the Bible says this, to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Why? Because it comes as seed. Man, what's that seed going to do? That seed is going to fight for dominion in your heart. That seed is going to produce no matter what. Why? Because God sowed it in your life, and it will never return to him void of power. It will accomplish that for which he sent it. Man, is that something for you to cheer about? Is that something that makes you happy? Is that something that brings hope in your life and joy overcoming and full of glory? Because that's what it's intended to do. We can't just sit through life and play passive and play subtle. No, let me tell you, there is not a dadgum thing subtle about Jesus. There's nothing subtle about God's word. Let me tell you, rather than subtle, it's suddenly. Man, Jesus knew the power that he walked in and knew the maturity level of his disciples. And he had to tell people that miracles had happened in their life. And you know what he had to tell them? Don't tell anybody. Please, don't spread this news yet. You know why they left there? They left there. I know what that dude said, but let me tell you, I got to tell somebody. But you know what? He was concerned that his team could handle the pressure and the crowds that were fixing to descend upon him. Everywhere he went, crowds followed him. Why? Because the God's promise puts us on the offense. God's promise, the defense of the enemy, that the enemy throws something at you, or a fiery dart hits your life, and you're on your heels and you're on defense, and then God's word rises up in the inside of you. You roll back up on the balls of your feet, and you're like, I'm going to bring captivity captive. I walk in dominion. I'm going to take that dominion in my life. My life is going to turn into domination on this earth in Jesus' name. Anybody said?
Amen.
See, that's who God's made us to be. And so many people don't tend to it. And that's what we've got to do. We've got to tend to this seed. We've got to make sure that seed, and I'll tell you how we do that, by meditation. And it's not us putting our middle finger and our thumbs together and facing the east and humming. What meditation in God's word truly is that we think about it so intently and so passionately that we begin to mutter it as we're walking. Like people that walk the streets and they're just muttering to nobody. Why? Because something has consumed them. Something has taken over them. Well, that's what happens with God's word, God's promise in our life. We walk around. Let me tell you, man, the last 40 years of my life, every waking isolated moment that I have in my life, I'm muttering God's word. I'm just telling you why, because the pitfalls and the trials and the tests and the fights and the frustrations and the temptations and everything that we face, let me tell you, man, God's word's quick and it's alive and it's sharper. It's powerful. Man, we've got to let that come out. So shall my word be that comes out of my mouth. See, we can rewrite that and make it first person. Well, so shall his word be that comes out of my mouth. It's going to accomplish that for which he sent it. It's never going to return void of power. And then you'll say, well, give me a New Testament verse. Real easy. Have the God kind of faith that where you say to this mountain, man, you let that word come out of your mouth. Be removed to be cast to the sea. And don't receive any doubt in your heart. Why? That word doesn't have any doubt in it. Any doubt that you're going to get, you're going to have to import it from something other than God's word. And see, that's what we've got to understand. In James, the first chapter in the 21st verse, he writes, therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness with every strength in you, you receive God's word, his implanted word. Everybody say implanted word. You're not just hearing this today. This word today is penetrating your heart. It's being sown in your heart, deeply in your heart. That God's word's being sown, which is able to what? Which is able to save your soul, which is able to save you emotionally and mentally. Let me tell you, that's what this all is. Man, I was working out with Jesse Tolliver on Friday. And man, I'm telling you, everything in me, I'm wanting to quit. Navy SEALs say that at 40% of your capacity that you think you're at the end. So I'm at like 45. Man, and I'm working out, and I look over at Jesse, and Jesse's grunting. Man, Jesse had already puked a couple times. We're young guys do that. They don't mind puking. We old guys were like, nah, I'm not. I'm going to go sit down before I puke. That's it. But I'm working out. I looked at Jesse. I said, Jesse, this is mental. You know, I wasn't really talking to Jesse. I was talking to me. Man, we don't quit. Write that down. We don't quit. Your marriage, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the engrafted or implanted word, which is able to save your marriage. Which is able to save, you ready for this one? Your children. How many guys have children that you're believing God for to step up and to turn their lives over to God? Which is able to save your children. See, that's what this implanted word does. See, the expectation, what's interesting is that, man, this is just, man, you're just getting another word from Pastor Bill, and it's just another service at the Guts Church, and it's just another opportunity for us to give it together, and it's another opportunity for us to give. It's another opportunity for us to greet people, to serve people, and to pray for people, to minister to people. No, this is going to save the things in your life that have to be saved. Let me tell you where this word's going for you today. This word is going into your heart, and it's finding that damaged area of your life, and it's going to freaking war for you. That's what it's doing. Man, if you guys in here believe in God for finances, who in here is believing God for finances? This word is going to save your finances. How many of you guys are in here for your marriage? You're believing God for your marriage. It's able to save your marriage. It's able to save your children. It's able to save your household, your ministry. Let me just tell you, any fiery dart that you've received, it may wing you a little bit, but it won't take you down. See, and we've got to understand that because James writes, but be doers of the word, not hearers only. Because why? It's deceiving to just hear it and not do it. It's going to deceive you, and so many deceived Christians. That should be an oxymoron, but there's so many deceived Christians because they're not doers of the word, they're hearers only. And you know what it's like? It's like being a hearer of the word. It's like somebody that walks over to a mirror and looks at his natural face and then walks away and forgets what manner of man they are. Why? Because, what is it? The supernatural, man, we forget that we're just natural people. We put on the costume. We talk in the vernacular. We try to have the strut. We try to act like we got it going on. Instead of just being who God called us to be. We don't forget who we are. Who am I? I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ. That's why it bothers me when Christians get up and say, well, you know, we're all just sinners. Let me tell you, I may sin. I'm not a sinner. You'll say, well, wait a second. Why? Because I've been bought with a price. I'm a dadgum son now. I don't care what Taylor does. Let me tell you, he's my son, whether he likes it or not. Man, when he was 5 years old, I disciplined him. When he's 33, I'm going to discipline him. Why? I'm his dad. That's what I do. That's how this works. It just doesn't go, well, you're on your own now. No, that's not how this works. Man, this grip that I have on him is for life. The grip that God has on you, it's for everlasting life. See, understand that God's never going to go, whoop, there you go, you're on your own. You made your bed, you sleep in it. No. You know what? Some of you guys may be prodigal even right now. I believe there's people watching on the internet right now that are prodigal right now. Let me tell you what God's doing. Man, God's got that ring cleaned up. He's got that robe ready. He's fatted a calf. Man, he's ready to throw a party, ready for you to come. Every day he goes and he looks to the end of that road where it bends. He's looking down there at that bend. You coming home today? You coming home today? Tomorrow, you coming home today? The next day, you coming home today? And then finally he sees you coming home. He's like, hey, let's get after it. My son has come home. See, that's what this is. That's how powerful God's word is. Man, some of you guys will try to run from God and run from church, try to blame God and blame church. Let me just tell you something. You're going to get off that train and you're going to get on that right train. Because I'll tell you, there's a train coming in your life that's going to bring you. And you know what it's going to do? It's going to save your life. It's going to save your marriage. It's going to save your health. It's going to save your finances. It's going to save your relationship. It's going to save your children. Why? Because that's what God's word does for us. See, but he who looks in the perfect law of liberty and then continues in it, just repeats it. It's all repetitive. Most of you guys could preach this. You still want to hear it because you want to do it. See, for some of you guys, it's going to click today and you're going to end up doing it. And you're not going to be a forgetful hearer, but you're going to be a doer of the work. And the Bible says this, look at the very last phrase. For then you're blessed in everything that you do. See, this isn't just going to affect your believing God for your marriage. It's not just going to affect your marriage. It's going to affect your finances. It's going to affect your health. Let me tell you, the way you do anything is the way you do everything. It's going to affect all of it. God's word is reflective of who we really are, and then we just have to continue in it. It's amazing that faith in God projects us to better life. It just catapults us. How many guys have just been catapulted to better life? Anybody in here? Man, your life's better. Alfredo, is your life better? You've been catapulted to better life? Man, I've been, it's like, oh my gosh, this is crazy. But fear, what fear is, it's the counterpunch to that better life. And fear imprisons us. And I think in my notes I wrote, in grotesque levels. It really is. It's grotesque what fear will do to our lives. The prison that fear puts us in. And all fear is just believing what we see, believing what's real. But it's not really real. It's changing all the time. What our eyes see and how we feel, we perceive that as real. But fear causes us to think at the lowest level. That's what fear is going to do. Because fear paralyzes us. Man, if you look at it, I'm stepping down here because we part and parcel God's word and it loses its effect. Because like Luke 6:38, but give and it'll be given unto you, good measure, pressed out, shaken together and running over. And people do that. And why isn't it working in their life? Because they didn't take it in full context. The previous verses say, don't judge, don't condemn, forgive and give. And God will give back to you, good measure, pressed out, shaken together and running over. See, how about the verse that says that, man, you'll receive back some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. But see, we're living at this base level life right here. See, we're fighting, and every bit of issue, every bit of limit, every bit of demonic attack you have in your life is at this base level right here. And you're doing everything that you could do in the arm of the flesh and in the natural. You're doing everything you do. But then you get to that place where it's some 30. Now you're fighting from here, and you've got an elevated stand, and now you've got an advantage. And some 60, and now here's where you're at. And it's like, oh, my gosh, there's no way you could be. And some 100-fold, and you get to this level here. That stuff can't touch you. It's still happening. How about where Paul said, and let this mind, how powerful that is. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God. What that means is on the same level as God. See, let me tell you, the world is going to try to poke holes in that in your life. What are you thinking? You're God now? No, I don't think I'm God. I just walk in the same place as he does. No, I'm not God. I just live at the same level he does. They got to just scratch their head. But let me just tell you, they're going to try to talk you into coming down here and dealing with things the way they deal with them. You don't deal with things the way your neighbor deals with them. Man, you deal with things the way God deals with them from this level right here, from an advantageous place. Let me tell you where the flu lives, right down there. Man, the symptoms will try to come up here, but no, these are not my, they're not for me. I don't receive them. I don't accept them. Let this mindset be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be at right standing, right level with God. See, that's what God's done in our lives. But fear causes pain, and that pain turns that situation into something that's not really there. It's like, I coached football for many years, and a kid would take a hit, and you'd go out there, and he'd go, man, you okay? Yeah, I think I broke my leg. How many guys ever played football and thought you broke your leg? I think I broke my leg. I heard something pop. I heard a pop. Oh, what did it do? It just popped. That bone just, you're like, okay, there's not a compound fracture. I think it's okay. That leg's not broken. That leg is sprained. Now listen. See, that pain will make you think you're broken. The pain will make you think your marriage is broken. But it's not broken. It's just sprained. So what do you need? How do you deal with a sprain? Oh, here's what you do. Listen. You elevate it. You ice it. You put compression on it. Here's what you do with your marriage. You elevate it. How you speak. How you treat it. Elevate it. You ice it. Man, all of your misgivings, all of your issues, put them on ice. And then compression. You just give it some of this. You compress that. So it's elevation, compression, ice. You know what it's going to do? Because you're built, your body's built to recover and heal from that sprain. But see, it comes in seed form. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Man, it comes to me as a seed. Pain is self-limiting belief. Oh, I can't do it. It hurts. Everything that keeps you the lesser or the weaker or the lowest level of you, you don't have to work at it. How many of you guys have to work at being lazy? How many of you guys have to work at being lonely? How many of you guys have to work at the lowest level of you? You don't have to work at that stuff. It just will happen. So now you have to take the initiative. And your muscles atrophy when they're not used. And faith is the same. That it really is. At the Navy SEALs training, it'll tell you at 40%, you're convinced that you're at your cap, at your capacity. You're at your cap. You're at the ceiling. At 40%. But the Word proclaims, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But see, that word, that Philippians 4:13 comes as a seed. It doesn't come as the harvest. It doesn't come with a cape and a big red S. Man, it comes as a mere seed, and it's not put in your hand. See, God's not putting this seed in your hand right now. It's going through your ear and into your heart. It's seeding in your heart. Remember, I said, I make Jesus Lord of my life. God, I give you my life, and I'm still hungover. I still feel terrible. The guy says, how do you feel? It's like, what do you mean, how do I feel? I'm humiliated in front of all these people. I'm standing at the altar with you. I don't want to be here. I don't like you. I don't like anybody in here. I'm disgusted, and I'm hungover. And then he just stopped, and he said, look at me, and he pointed, and he said, you're a new creation in Christ. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Can I tell you, somehow that word went into my ear and into my, it seeded in my heart. 40 years later, that word is still producing a harvest. 40 years later, that harvest is still happening in my life. I'm a new creation in Christ. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Still today. And the gifts of the Spirit now that we're assembling in all these services, they're all designed by God to elevate our lives to where it glorifies Him. That's what it's all about. It's not about money. It's not about fame. It's not about followers. It's not about any of that stuff. It's about giving glory to God. And that's why Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 12, he said, but the manifestation of the Spirit, now listen, is given to each one for the profit of all. So let's break that down for a minute. Let's think about it. It's given to each one of us. Every one of us, you have a there's a gifting that's in your life that God has gifted you. Here, stand up, would you? Next to Abbott right there. You stand up. Now you're looking, you're trying your hardest and you've given your life to God, and it's been a few years now, and man, you know what's right, you know what's wrong, you know where the light is, you know where the darkness is, you're going to stay in the light, you're going to do what's right. But let me just tell you today that you're here for us. See, the gift that God has in you is given to each of us, to you, for all of us. See, that's how this works. That's the mission of this church. See, until we activate the gifting that's in his life and he begins to walk in the gift in his life, whether he's at Zapalpa or Skytook or wherever here in Tulsa, until you activate that gift, we're not fulfilling the mission. Because it's in each of us for all of us. See, and that's how this works. See, and that's how God, it's important for it to be developed, because, like, how old are you, sir? For 35 of your years, you're doing it on your, you're doing what you think, what you want, what, right or wrong, come hell or high water, it doesn't matter what anybody thinks, all that. You're that kind of dude, you know? But then a couple of years ago, how many years ago, did you met Chano, and 3 years ago, you're, okay, now, wait a second, my life's not my own. I've been bought with a price. God bought me. So now I've got to look at my life. There's a gift on the inside of me. I want to help. I want to give. So what do? We give you opportunities to serve. There's some of you guys, you know, we've made all these appeals for people to be interns. And it really, here's all that matters. What's God want you to do? What's God saying to you? If you're supposed to be an intern, pick up a dadgum application. If you're not, just cheer the people on that do. But let me tell you, what Jeremy told you earlier is God's gifted you to do it. And if you say no to that, you're disobedient to that, your gift really doesn't work anywhere else that you're trying to do it. Because if you think about it, that gifting on the inside of you, God put in you in your mother's womb. Actually, before that. So before you were even saved, before you were delivered, before you were set free, that gifting's on the inside of you. So there's people that have a gifting to make money and give money and perpetuate the gospel and to prop and to make it happen, that are doing it out in the world, but none of it brings any fulfillment. See, man, God's given all the, man, you could read the gifts in 1 Corinthians 12, but the biggest thing is that for each of it's in each of us, for all of us. In the gift that's in my life, it's for all of you. I can't say any better without screwing it up. There's a gift in you. All the hurting people, all the messed up people, all the people that are just getting the side effects of the world have consumed their lives. Two weeks ago at this service, I stood here and hugged every person in the room. And I'll never forget. It's probably the last thing I wanted to be doing, but people came up and said, my husband was out of the house and homeless and destitute. And we've been in this church for 3 months and now everything's restored. This woman just weeping, just clinging to me. And I'm like, who are you again? Why? Because the gifts that she's been sitting by have been for her. See, that's who you are. That's why it's important for you to be here. The mission of the church, it's given to each of us for all of us. I think the most selfish thing that we can do as believers is not go to church. I really do. I'm not trying to lay a trip on anybody, but let me lay a trip on you. The most selfish thing that you can do is not come to church. Why? Because the gift in you is for all of us. Who did Paul write that letter to? He wrote it to a church. They weren't reading that at a town hall meeting. They weren't reading that at the local tavern. They were reading that at church. And then you know what? They could finish reading it. And you know what Paul said to do? Read it again. Read it again. Read it again. There's something incredible in the inside of you. And that gift and that call will never return void. God will never take it. ever, no matter what you do. You might say, but I've screwed it up. Yeah, join the club. But let me tell you, the gift and calling of God are without repentance. God's never going to turn from it. Never going to pull it off your life. There's people sitting in prison cells right now that gifting is laying dormant on the inside of them. And all they need to do is come in contact with another minister gifting to activate that on the inside of them. See, that's what I really want to do today is just activate that gifting on the inside of you. Just let's get that thing rolling. What's in you? Let's find out. Man, that's what the internship does. Man, let's find out what's in you. But what's that going to take? It's going to take a no-compromise, disciplined, strained lifestyle. You got to strain your life.
Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Guts Church, visit our website at gutschurch.com.